This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayishlach, and we're told by Yishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav, Yaakov sent angels to Esav, and Ramban compares Yaakov's actions here to a person with a fear of dogs, who grabs the dog by the ear in order to stay on top of the dog. The only reason the dog noted him and wanted to attack him was that he tugged on the dog, provoking him. So Ramban suggests that this is what happened by Yaakov sending a message to Esav. To which Rav Chaim Greinemann Zecher Tzadik Livracha asked, how was Yaakov supposed to know that Esav wasn't going to attack him? He had to go ahead and hold him back. So therefore, he asks, why does Ramban castigate Yaakov Avinu for taking protective measures? Rav Greinemann explains that we rely on miracles every day. We just have a responsibility to take efforts, hishtadlus, that are normal to keep things moving. One can rely on normal courses of events, and he or she takes Herculean efforts. In the name of hishtadlus, we hold him or her accountable for it. This is similar to an idea Rav Shechter Shalita has noted to us on a number of occasions. Throughout Jewish history, Jews in other countries needed to engage in hishtadlus, but in reasonable hishtadlus. In Israel, the government also needs to do hishtadlus too. But what we need to do is find tefillah first. And so Yaakov Avinu begins with his message, "Im Lavan Garti, I live with Lavan," and Rashi cites two explanations of Yaakov's comment. The first was that he lived with Lavan and he didn't become some great officer or politician. Right? And the second was that he kept all 613 mitzvos. And of course, is there any way for us to reconcile these two seemingly opposing pshatim? One being about religion, the other one being about the failure of the brachos. So Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the author of the Shemana Tov, explains that when a person is humble enough not to make himself an officer or a lord, he has the ability to keep the whole Torah. Maybe that's what Yaakov Avinu was saying. I didn't become this because I didn't act this way. And then he says, he says, Vayili shor v'chamor tzon v'ebed v'shevchayin, an ox, a donkey, sheep. Now it's interesting to note that the sheep that we read so much about in the last week's parsha are relegated to the third spot in this message to Esav. And why? What is the message within that? So Rabbeinu Bechai explains that Esav lost his bechor because of the goats, so similar to sheep. And Yaakov didn't want to remind Esav of what caused the great schism between them. And so, of course, that's why he moves him to sort of third on the list. Of course, if that's the case, then why does Yaakov Avinu send the goats first and the gifts that he sends to Esav? It sounds like, you know, if you're going to make a choice like that, make a choice that makes sense. So the late great Rav Mordechai Druck, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that in the interim, Yaakov Avinu davened. And when the Avos davened, they were able to see that things would be okay. And since that was the case, he had no reason not to let the Yizim go first. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita noted that he knew a person who had just incredible faith in his davening. And when he had that faith, the davening was a different davening. It just came through. We're also told, Al-Kin lo-Yochlu b'nei Yisrael skid an-Nosha. So Yaakov Avinu has this great battle with Saroshel Esav, with the Malach, identified as the strange Ish, right? And in the morning, the angel asks to be released. And so he grabs Yaakov in the Gid an-Nosha. And therefore we're told, Al-Kin, for that reason, we don't eat the Gid an-Nosha in an animal. So the question is, why is this the reason not to eat the Gid an-Nosha? So the great, late, great, the great, wonderful Rabbi Avigdor Nevensal Shalita quoted the Zohar HaKadosh, which notes that the words et Gid contain the letters for Tisha B'Av, Aleph Tav, Tzom Gedalia, which is the Gimel Tishrei, the Yod of Asar B'Teves, and the gematria of the word Gid is 17. Right? Gimel, Yud, Dalet. The Gimel and Dalet is 7, and Yud is 10. And 17, of course, alludes to the Shavasar B'Tamas. So Rav Nevensal Shalita explained that the message here refers to the fact that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash comes about because of the Tumah that the Malach injected into Yaakov, which would affect his future generations. Well, Yaakov Avinu finally meets up with Esav, and they get into a whole discussion as to whether who should keep the gifts that Yaakov had sent. So Esav says, you know, Yesh li Rav. And Yaakov says, Yesh ki chanani elokim ve'yesh li kol, v'yiftzar bo v'yikach. He urged him and he took it. So Rav Gamliel Rabinovich Shalita noted that while initially demurring to accept the gift from his younger brother, Yaakov pushes Esav and he accepted it even without saying thank you. says Rav Gamliel, the wicked think that everything they have is coming to them, and so when someone gives them something to them, they don't say thank you. But a tzaddik thinks that everything he has is a gift, and that he wasn't entitled to the gift. And therefore the tzaddik is very careful to be grateful under all circumstances. And this is a fundamental difference. We're also told that Tetzei Dina Basleya, the terrible story of what happened to Dina, happens in this week's parsha. And Rashi quotes the Medrash that since Yaakov hid Dina in a box, so that she not be taken by Esav, she was taken by Shechem. So the late, great Rabbanovich Rosh Hashiva of David Pavarsky Zatzal asks, what was Yaakov supposed to do? Should he have allowed Dina to be taken by a Rasha? Or was this an action of withholding her from Chesed? And so he answers that Yaakov, at his level, took unnecessary precautions. We might not be able to explain those precautions, but Yaakov was able to know them, and he went too far. Moriv Rabbi Rav Shechter Shalita added that the Messiah Shesharim adds that part of the idea of Zahirus is not to do too much. Exaggerated actions of protection can often lead to strong anti-protection. We're also told, at the end of the parasha, of all the great genealogy of Esav, and we're told at the end of the parasha, Hu Esav Avi Edom, he is the father of Edom. Now, why do we need to know the Sari Esav? What's the whole point of the end of this parasha? So Rabbi Fran Shlita quoted Rav Hutner Zatzal, who explained that Esav's children received a portion in Eretz Seir. So they're only interested in destroying the physical Jewish people. But Bnei Yishmael didn't even get a portion of the land, and so they continue to fight us for the land, because they feel they got gypped, and that's why they continue to fight for it. Finally, in the Haftorah from Ovadia, we're told, Ubahar Tzion Tia Pleita, in the future, Har Tzion will be a refuge. Rav Dov Lior Shalita noted that the incredible times we live in after the founding of the State of Israel and the wars that we've had and endured and emerged victorious miraculously, we have seemingly achieved the Nebuah that Ovadia highlights over here. Rav Lior added that it's imperative for us to realize the Hashgach of Hashem in these events. And this is one of the great wonders of the world that we live in, that we have a pleita, a place for us. And where is it? It's Har Tzion. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu make sure that Leman Tzion Lo Echesha, that we'll never ever be silent for the needs of Tzion. Leman Yerushalayim Lo Eshkot. And may Ezras Hashem, we will get our voices heard, and we will all be able to return L'Tzion Berina Shabbat Shalom to all.